Okay, so this is starting. Okay, so this is Radio Lonely. This is Laura talking to you from Vancouver, Canada. And today I'm at Café du Soleil, which is a small restaurant on Commercial Drive. And I'm talking to Terry, who is the restaurant owner of Café du Soleil. So I guess, yeah, like I said before, offline, I guess, I just want to get your impressions on customers and loneliness. So let's start maybe with, can you tell people that are lonely, people that come in and are lonely, can you tell when people are lonely? Is it obvious?
You get a whole variety of people here, and the kind of the mix in a restaurant is that, you know, you'll have couples come in, you'll have more than 2 to 4 people come in, you know, parties coming, and then you'll have the ones that are by themselves. And over time, you know, you kind of get a sense that either they're alone or they're lonely, but these days people tend to hide in their cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can tell that. Even you might have a couple that either they're very distant from each other, or they're not quite there, even though they're there together. Mm-hmm. And they seem to find themselves, you know. And I look at them all the time, and I notice that they just are totally absorbed in their cell phone. That seems to be that leash that keeps them from being lonely. And you see that. And if the smartphone wasn't around, you would see these people just kind of either sitting there by themselves looking out the window, or reading a book, or maybe looking through a newspaper. But the phone seems to give them that sense of security, you know, I'm here. But you can generally tell that, you know, these people are kind of lost, because once in a while you look at the table, you want to make sure that they're fine while they're there. And they'll look out the window and look at other people, and then when somebody looks at them, they'll go right back into the phone again.
Mm. So it's almost like being afraid of making contact.
People are not comfortable with being with themselves, and it's sort of become like that. In the old days, for me, the old days is, having grown up in England, I spent a lot of time by myself as a young child. I was in the boarding school, so you kind of make yourself your best friend. You learn to be happy with who you are, where you are. But I've noticed that here, you know, the kids nowadays are so afraid to just sit there, just to be happy with who they are. So as a result of it, they feel disconnected, they feel lonely, they feel, you know what, I'm missing out on something. Mm-hmm. That's why they're constantly on the cell phone, or they need to be talking to somebody. And the other funny phenomenon that I notice here is that if you're sitting here by yourself long enough, mm-hmm. they'll call somebody. Mm. People will call somebody.
They're uncomfortable with being alone.
Right. So it's amazing. The picture that gets played out, you're kind of like, oh my God, you know, you're in a restaurant, have a meal, you know, sit back, relax. But instead, they're so afraid to be by themselves that they've got to always be doing something.
Hmm. But so I've been coming here for quite a few years, and I noticed that you have regulars, obviously, and there's one on our right here. I've been reading a book by a sociologist called Ray Oldenburg, mm-hmm. and he wrote this book called The Great Good Place. Have you ever heard of him?
No? I haven't heard of him.
And he talks about, you know, public spaces like a restaurant or a cafe, these kind of places, meeting places, how there are these places that we need besides, you know, work and home. It's a third place, mm-hmm. that is another place that feels like home. It's a place that, you know, you feel relaxed and you feel like you can go to and talk, and, you know, where maybe the host, the restaurant keeper is. You know. And, sorry about that, let me see, it's still, yes, we're still live. So there's some criteria that he says you need for a place to feel like it's a great, good mm-hmm. third place to go to. That it's a leveler, so that there is no class distinction, Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what you dress like, you know, anybody can come in here. And I'd say this place feels like it's a leveler. People from all sorts of incomes or classes come in here, I would say. Maybe not people from, I don't know, West Vancouver, I'm not sure. You know, you can never tell by how people dress, right?
I have a lot of regulars that come from North Vancouver, which is fairly affluent, you know, and they're elderly. Mm-hmm. But I know what you're saying. You know, it's places like this, they do kind of give you that third place, you know, besides home and work, and maybe give you that other place to go to. I have a very regular elderly person that comes in. She's an older woman. She lives by herself, you know, and sometimes she has something on her mind. She might read something, and she needs somebody to talk to about what's going on, and she'll talk about it, and we'll have a discussion. And there's a lot of people like that, you know. I'm kind of very grateful to the kind of little restaurant that we have. It's kind of very comfortable. I think it's comfortable where you can come in, you can chat, you know. And once you get to know me, or you get to know the staff, my kids on the weekends, you know, mm-hmm. they establish these relationships, and you get to find out more and more about these people. But I think the fact that, you know, just people, you know, I'm sure that we all feel lonely at some point in our lives, mm-hmm. right? And you want to go someplace where you're comforted.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I noticed is that how many people will come in with their computer and sit down. Well, you could sit down with your computer at home, or you could sit down with your computer wherever you are. But
yeah.
I notice that more and more people will come to a place so they can sit down and have something going on around them, so they feel...
So they're like they're in a public space, or like with other people.
Right.
Even though it feels a bit better than just being alone with your computer.
By yourself. Yeah.
Although, as far as computers and laptops go, though, I don't see a lot of people doing that here. For example, in some places like, what is it called, Prado Cafe?
Yeah.
Not that place over there, the place, coffee shop.
Yep.
People go there, and like 75% of people have their laptops with them. And so I went, the other day I was feeling like I need to work on something, but I didn't feel like being at home. So I went to the coffee shop there. And it's like 75% of people were on their laptops. And it was weird because they don't look up. They don't acknowledge you, and it feels it felt actually very alienating. It didn't feel at all like I was in a room. I didn't feel like I was getting any kind of companionship.
Yeah.
You could feel that in a public space, but it felt kind of strange. So after half an hour, as soon as I finished my latte, I had to leave because it was so strange.
I know exactly what you mean. I checked the place out because I saw that. You know, one of the things that I really felt, I felt like so many people. That is a lonely place, I have to say. It is a lonely place.
Yeah.
So many young people that are by themselves on their computer, and you need that feeling that there's people around you.
Yeah.
Because you can't be at home doing this. A place is phenomenal. It's a good study psychologically.
Yeah.
It's a great study because you get to watch people. It's just like, why would you come to a coffee shop, have a cup of coffee, get on your computer, and then sit by yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very interesting idea, right? It's like,
I think they have regulars because I walked by there and I noticed somebody that was there again. They didn't have a laptop. They had notes and headphones.
Yeah.
They get the regulars, and people find that a comforting place.
And there could be some genuinely, you know, some people that maybe just need to get away from an office or need to get away from their
house. If they're working from home, especially. Yeah.
Right. If you're working from home, you need to go someplace and just to get the heck away from it. You know, sometimes, especially in apartments, you know, so many of us live in these apartments that after a while the four walls begin to close in on you, so you need to get the heck out of there and be around people. But then, if you think about it, that's an association with loneliness, right? So you're in your apartment, you don't feel comfortable, you feel a little lonely, you need to have company. That's where you go out to someplace where there is people, even though you're not talking to them or having any sort of social interaction, but you still feel, oh, okay, I'm a part of something, or I'm a part of a group, or I'm a part of a happening. You know, so it's kind of a really interesting thing.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, I from what I'm reading, did you need to get that?
Yeah,
go ahead, that's fine. Now you can talk. What's your name?
Is it off?
No, it's on. No? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been reading the work of a neuroscientist who researched the topic of loneliness, and
right.
It is actually good that people actually get out of their house and go to these places when they're feeling lonely, because if you don't do that, if you just keep on staying at home, it gets worse.
Absolutely.
Your loneliness starts making you weird.
Right. When I was in university, we did one of these sensory deprivation experiments. I was a part of that. I got kicked out because I was just too comfortable by myself. The professor didn't feel that I was the right subject for it, because he said, you're way too comfortable with yourself, so you can't be a part of this thing. But you know what? I understand that. I definitely understand the fact that, you know, that that you need to get out of your house, especially when you are feeling lonely. You need to have somebody around you. It's comforting, let's face it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you don't know anybody, you still feel comfortable when there's a whole group of people around you. And psychologically, when there's a psychological experiment where if you have an empty room and people come in, let's say the first person comes in and they'll sit down someplace, you watch as other people begin to come into the room, they'll slowly start sitting around that person because you want to be close, you know, you want to have some sort of comfort. Very rarely you'll find somebody will sit completely on the other side of the room if it's an empty room.
It would probably be antisocial behavior that did that, right?
They
do not actually want any contact. It's clear.
So that could be associated with either that's just the way they feel, that's their comfort zone.
Yeah.
But majority of the people will sit around this person, or they'll kind of congregate in this one area, generally around each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep, go ahead.
Talking about people all kind of congregating together, especially in an empty room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's social behavior. I mean, even if you look at the anthropological kind of work that Jane Goodall's done with the chimps, and you'll notice that, from being lonely, they'll kind of stick together in groups, and there's this real dynamic behavior that happens. And I guess being human. You know, experiments like love deprivation, you know, where they take a monkey away from its mother and is all by himself, and they give him a blanket. That sort of blanket becomes his whole life, you know, because he can't live, he can't be without that blanket. It's all associated with loneliness. It's all associated with our behavior. And I don't think we're that far away from the monkeys or other people. I think as human beings, we need to have some comfort. We need to have somebody around us. And let's face it. And I notice that more and more with technology these days, people have put themselves in a place where I think they'll be more lonely as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have social intercourse like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have places where you can just go and talk. Now, having grown up in Europe, you know, you, with your friends, you go out, you socialize. Here, the social dynamics are totally different.
Yeah.
You don't go out with a group of friends. Maybe you call a few friends, and the idea, you know, very rarely get together. But I notice kids more and more today are become a part of this technology culture, and as a result of it, we've gotten away from the social interaction. So when they take their head out of this technology and then look around, they're by themselves. So that's why, you know, there's this constant drive to be connected, this constant drive to somehow feel comforted, this, you know, I don't want to be lonely. And I think it's going to get progressively worse.
Yeah, and I guess also they're losing the skills, in a way, to have those casual chats with strangers.
My son, you know, he's at that age where he's beginning to notice girls, and he was asking me, he was saying, you know, hey, listen, hey, Dad, how do I talk to a girl? You know, I said, like, how do I approach her? Because, you know, obviously, he's a young man. It's at that point, so fair enough. It's an important question. And one of the questions that he asked me was about internet dating. And I said, I said, what?
Is it too young?
I said, you know, I mean, well, it's just one of those things. He's exploring the subject, right?
And that's interesting.
I said, well, think about that. You don't know anything about this person. And you think the fact that, you know, this little resume that she puts up, or whoever puts up on the computer, that accurately reflects what this person has. I said, you're the best people that you will meet. You will meet out of a social group. You know, you'll get to know somebody, you'll talk to them, they'll talk to you, and as a result of it, you know, you'll establish some sort of a relationship mark where you either ask the person out for a date or they ask you out for a date. You've now started something social, you know, and I think when kids start asking you questions like that, and that's how they feel that they need to approach a person is through this very inanimate object, your computer, it's kind of scary. You know, you're thinking about these kids, how are they going to behave as they get older? How are they going to interact with each other as they get older?
Yeah.
And how disconnected are they going to be from the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's interesting that he should bring that up, and I'm wondering if that's something that younger kids now are picking up just from television and the movies. Because it's all the time in the movies.
Absolutely.
As a solution to, no, to dating.
In our home, we don't have a lot of television. We don't have a lot of technology, especially during the weekdays. Mind you, they're allowed to use their electronics for schoolwork. So I've tried to keep them away from that. But still, the influences are out there with other kids.
Yeah.
And they see this, and kids are super smart. You know, all kids of every generation have been very smart. They've always just had this sense, this cognitive approach. You know, they see things, they absorb things. So every generation's had it. It's just that this generation, I feel sometimes a little worried about the fact that this whole loneliness aspect of it. And as you get older, and there's, you know, just the whole mentality, okay, in a relationship, instead of working out, let's just say if you have some sort of a discourse in a relationship, instead of working out the whatever the problem is, no, we'll just split up, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad, I remember asking my father a long time ago, I said, hey, Dad, do you love my mom? Do you love mom? And you know, he kind of looked at me kind of weird, and he said, what do you think love is? And I said, I don't know, that's what I'm asking you. He said, well, let me tell you this much. When you're younger, you know, it starts out with all the fun and games. He said, after that, love turns into getting up in the morning, going to work. Love turns into, you know, looking after the children. Love turns into, okay, you have an argument. Both of you have an argument, but you make a decision that you're not going to go to bed angry. You know, he said, that's what love turns out. He said, paying the bills, you know. You know, you have issues, you have problems. You work through them. You don't run for the door, right? So that was his definition of love. It starts out with the chemistry, of course.
Yeah.
But in order to make it work, it's hard work. It's every day. It's work.
Yeah.
Right? Like these kids, you know, I try to instill that in my children, but there's a lot of kids that don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I notice that, and I see a lot of lonely kids out there, just by the way they behave. And even though they may not think that they're lonely, but just their actions speak louder than words.
And then So I think that goes back to, that ties into, you know, their family, in the situation at home, how strong the family ties are, how strong the family is at home, whether it's, you know, a regular mother and father, whether it's a single parent, what it feels like at home, because I think that spills over to, well, the rest of their life and their social.
I agree with you.
How they interact with people, how comfortable they interact with people, or being alone. And
I think either, you know, whether you have a two-male family, where you have all these different types of varieties of family, I think we've lost that one very special aspect of the family, and that is that that evening meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ability to be able to sit down at the end of the day, like I do with my kids, and I try very hard to make sure that once we're around that table, we talk about the day, we talk about what's going on in your life, you know, are there issues that we need to deal with, how are things happening. I think we've slowly kind of gotten disconnected from that. And as a result of it, kids don't talk to their parents anymore. They, they text their parents or they send them an email. People just don't communicate anymore. But you know, in the old days, it was that old-fashioned family unit. But I think, you know, like I said, the families these days are all sorts of different varieties, different shapes and sizes and colors. But I think that evening meal is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've slowly gotten away from that.
Yeah.
People are so focused on lifestyle, money, you know, and I understand that. And we all have those pressures. But I think you have to make time to be able to have at least one meal in the day, to be able to connect with your children,
mm-hmm.
to be able to talk about these things. I mean, that's the time I have to actually fix my kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the time we discuss, you know, my daughter's got an issue, you know, we'll sit down and we'll chat about it. The kids, and that's one of the things that, you know, there's ground rules that I have around my dining room table. And that ground rule is that whatever we discuss, we're going to discuss openly. Everybody's going to have a constructive input, you know, and at the end of it, you know, we usually end up laughing and having fun, telling jokes, you know, the kids telling me what their new music that they're listening to or what happened at school and how they're doing. So just, you know, and that's a chance for me as a parent to be able to kind of, you know, see if there's anything that I need to tweak in my kids and maybe get them focused on the right path instead of the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're losing that.
Yeah. Yeah, so your kids are learning to, they can actually talk about their problems, that there's someone that they can go to.
Right.
So,
well, even amongst themselves, imagine, okay, so if this is how I bring them up, then when they have their own families, when they have their own children, they'll have a kind of a template.
Yeah.
So, you know what,
right.
This is what my mom and dad did with me. You know, I think I'm going to do the same thing because this is what I grew up with. I understand this. But then, you know, when you have kids, that parents haven't parents aren't around, you know, there are these latchkey kids that come in and, you know, there's a sandwich in the fridge and they make something, then they go to their computer. But, you know, there's not much talking or communication going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I hope, you know, just because they're able to have this communication, they'll be able to talk to their partner.
Yeah.
And say, hey, listen, you know what, if we have an issue, how do we deal with this? You know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I see lots of different ways. I mean, that's... I mind you, the funny thing is I never grew up in a household like that. I grew up in a boarding school.
Right.
But the thing is that I've realized over the time, just from watching TV myself, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I kind of decided to do with my kids.
Mm. So in the boarding school, did you have anybody to talk to?
In the boarding school, it was there's many lonely times. You know, I spend a lot of time by myself. I think that's why I'm very comfortable with myself. I can sit somewhere out in the middle of the desert and it wouldn't affect me one single bit. I'm very happy with who I am. But, you have lots of students there, lots of kids that are in the same boat that I am.
Mm-hmm.
You build friendships, you build relationships. You know, you learn to transverse these situations and you kind of sometimes go beyond. I had a conversation with my dad when I got older and I said, well, you know, why me? You know, I thought you hated me. Why did you send me to boarding school?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, listen, you're a smart kid. I wanted to give you all the advantages that the other kids didn't have, you know, so I wanted you to have those.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it from that point of view, you know, he did the best he could for me
mm-hmm.
under his circumstances. So, I totally had a different viewpoint. And before I just thought as if I thought he hated me.
Yeah.
And that's why he sent me. But then I realized, you know, he wanted to give me something better that he didn't have.
Hmm.
So, you know, you put those things into perspective. And you can't be a whiner and cry about these things. You have to just pick up and go and say, okay, you know, I'm going to move forward instead of getting stuck in that same old spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think loneliness these days, I see it a lot. And I think as people get older, you know, you begin to see it more and more, especially on this street, because this street has a lot of people on it,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you'll see a lot of people that are lost.
Yeah.
It's an interesting place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jesus.
Pardon me?
Love to see how that works out.
Yes. I'm just going to figure out how to turn this off now.
How does it filter out the music?